Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your...
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
What is up? What is up, Bills Mafia? It is so good to have you with me. Welcome into the Overreaction Podcast. I am the voice of the Overreaction Podcast. And the Overreaction Podcast, I got some exciting news for you. The Overreaction Podcast is now sponsored and brought to you by The Market Dominator. The Market Dominator is a man by the name of John Spaschek. John is a real estate broker with Keller Williams Realty. And let me just tell you something. It is rare that you find somebody who is so invested and believes so much in what you're doing that they're willing to put their name behind it and put their checkbook behind it. And I think it's even more rare when you find somebody that's willing to do that, that you also believe in. John Spaschek is a friend of mine. He's a guy that when we moved back to Buffalo, we relied on and counted on him to literally find us a home, get us, talk us through, walk us through all of the things that have to do with home purchases in New York State. Because let me tell you something, buying a home in New York is different than buying a home in any other state in this country. Any other state in this country. John is an expert. John is an expert. And not only is John an expert, but John is going to walk the people on the other side of this deal, of your deal, as far as your home, through it. He's not going to let anything fall through the cracks. He is going to educate you. He is consistently ranked in the top 100 realtors of Western New York. He opens doors through exceptional client care and education. The man understands the business, knows the business, and knows what he's doing. And let me tell you something else. This is big. When I talked to John this past week, he told me that there are only 800 or so listings in Erie County currently. Homes for sale. If there's a time to sell your house, if you've been contemplating selling your house, now is the time. You need to sell it right now. And let me tell you something. You want to go with John because John is going to maximize the value of your home. So whether you are in the market to buy or you're in the market to sell, and here's the other thing too, John can work out of state. So if you were listening to me from some other state in the country, John can make that happen. He is the Market Dominator, and he has at this point partnered with us here at the Overreaction Podcast, and I am thankful for John. And if you are in the market, if you are ready to go, you need to get a hold of John at 716-570-3298. That number again, 716-570-3298, or you can email him at yourelitebroker@gmail.com, your elite broker. Do not wait, do not hesitate, and do not make the mistake of going with somebody else. With that, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I've got an awesome show lined up for you. And to be honest with you, there's been a lot of stuff in the news. There have been people trashing our quarterback. Our defense has been getting together, even though the NFL is telling them not to. They've been getting together, practicing and doing drills and playing volleyball, and they've been having a cookout, and it's been awesome to see. Our quarterback was seen in the airport on his way back to Buffalo by the founder, one of the founders of Buffalo Fanatics, Pierre Kingpin. A lot of stuff is going on. A lot of stuff is going on. But with that, I have a special guest for you today, and I don't want to waste any time. So right now what I want to do is I want to bring in a special guest for the very first time, and I'm going to admit real quick just that I am not intimidated, but I'm excited. And it's just, it's not every day that you get the founder, the owner of the network that you're actually on your show. But with us today, we have the founder, one of the founders of Buffalo Fanatics. His name is Rico. He's got a show on YouTube twice a week on Mondays, or should say just after the games on Sundays. And then he's got a show on Friday, and his show is hotness. If you haven't caught it, you need to catch it. I enjoy it. I love it. I feel a kindred spirit with him just as far as energy and emotion. You can find him on Twitter at @RealRico_BF. That handle again, @RealRico_BF. So with that, Rico, how you doing, my man?
Joe, I am doing great. Thanks for having me on the Overreaction Podcast. I'm excited to be here, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to come on your show, but there's an aspect of like, how do you ask somebody come on their show? It's like, so I figured I would just, you know what? I'm just going to reach out and I'm going to make the first move and like have you on my show first. And then hopefully there'll be some dividends. There'll be some, it'll pay off in the end.
It's kind of funny because I'm so in the wind. If I feel something, I just do it. If I feel like there'll be chemistry between myself and somebody else, I just do it. It's just a matter of time. When you work the overnights, it's one of those things where it's a scheduling issue, right? And energy for me is big. So if I'm tired, I don't want to give that to the audience, and I don't want to give that to my guest as well. But you rest assured, my friend, you and I will be going head to head. Don't you worry about that.
Well, I have a voice, as you have mentioned many times, for a voice for radio. I kind of have a face for radio too. So, you know, I'm not as good looking as Steve and Dave Tilton. He's good looking too, and you're obviously a good looking guy.
Appreciate that.
Even Jay Spence is.
we got a whole bunch of good looking guys on the squad, man. So listen, man, we don't only sound good, but we look good.
Oh, we look good too. Yeah, I'm with you. That's funny. So real quick for me, and I know that the Buffalo Fanatics Network and just our reach is growing. I want to use the word exponentially. But talk to me real quick, because I honestly don't know. Tell me how Buffalo Fanatics got started and when.
Oh boy. Okay. So how this started was, it was a Facebook group. Pierre started this whole thing on his own, right? So, and it's confusing to most, but I'll explain to you how I came about and how we are where we are today. So it started off as a Facebook group called the Bills Fanatics. So Bills Fanatics started off in the Facebook group with, 100 members, 200 members. I came in at about 300 members in. And it started to grow. It started to grow. And as they started to grow, they started adding admins to the Facebook group, because the way I came out is that I'm such a big Bills fan, and in Canada, yeah, I mean there's a good chunk of us, but there's just so many fans of other teams. I'm like, where can I find a place for me to just talk Bills and do what I must? And lo and behold, I go on Facebook and I just type in the Buffalo Bills, and I see a whole bunch of groups. Then I guess the Bills Fanatics was the first one I noticed, so I joined the group. And, conversation after conversation. And I'm very passionate with certain things that I feel strongly about. So I've shared my takes in the group. Long story short, years go on and years go on, and the group starts getting bigger. I become an admin because I forced my way in, believe it or not, because I started noticing that they were adding people to be the admins of a group that I'm like, man, I've been watching and listening to what this guy's saying. He's not making any sense, and you guys made him admin? No. So one day I was like, listen, I need to be part of this group. I need you guys to make me an admin. Let's go. I guess they talked it over. I guess Pierre and a few of the admins, and then I was in. So as the group grew bigger, and we started noticing like there's so much more avenue that we could hit, we started making bigger decisions, right? So with that being said, you'd be surprised how many people have collaborated and I wouldn't say worked under Bills Fanatics, but worked with Bills Fanatics. We had Eric from Cover One.
Really?
With Bills Fanatics at one point. We collaborated. We had the Rock Pile Boys collaborate with us for a little bit. We had Nate Geary for a little bit on Bills Fanatics. We had a slew of guys that you guys all listen to now at one point affiliated with the Bills Fanatics. So we still have a relationship with a lot of these guys. So cool. That being said, once we noticed that we could grow this thing, then we got hit with a letter. The Buffalo Bills hit us up and were like, hey, listen
come
up.
On.
We got a cease and desist letter saying you come cannot on. Use the word Bills in your anything that you guys do. So at that point, we were picking up a lot of steam. So we had to really change what Bills Fanatics is. And we didn't want to steer away from the name. So we ended up saying, you know what? Let's just go Buffalo Fanatics. The initials stay the same, but we could do all things Buffalo. It could be the Buffalo Bisons. It could be the Buffalo Sabres. We could do a whole bunch of things. So Buffalo Fanatics came about. Now, here's where myself, I came in as a founder because I started doing videos and we started hitting up Instagram and Twitter, and we completely changed the branding of the Bills Fanatics. Bills Fanatics at one point was just Facebook. So when we rebranded and we took the name over, we started everything fresh and all over again. And we changed our views. And that way, with Trust and myself, Pierre and Bobby, we were the ones that kind of put things together on what route we want to take with BF and where it's going to go. We have no idea to this day, but it is growing and people are showing a lot of love. And that's how we've become what we've become. Bills Fanatics of old was just the Facebook group. Now, it's a brand.
It's a movement, brand for sure.
Right?
For sure.
And it's something that we take very seriously to give fans from all over the place somewhere that they can follow their team, track their team, and on top of that, be entertained with the likes of myself and the Joe Millers and the Steve and Daves. And right now, we have the strongest team that we've ever had right now. And it's only going to get better. So that is how we have become what we are today.
That's cool. That's super cool. And I know you said a second ago, not that you were unsure, but you know, it's undetermined, but what do you think the future of Buffalo Fanatics looks like? What's the next hill to charge for Buffalo Fanatics?
Wow. And that is a conversation that we constantly are having, what we're tweaking. What we're trying to become is a brand, like which we are a brand, but a network where we can do all things with Buffalo, all things with the Bills. And at one point, if one way or another, if we can try to get a partnership or something with the Bills, because we are a bridge. And why not? Why not bridge all the fans from all over the place to the team? And I feel like there's so much more work to do. And who knows? There's so many other places that we could take this. It's just a matter of putting your head down, grinding. We've had offers on table for certain avenues. It's right now, it's just we're still trying to hone in and solidify what we are. So we can bring proficiency and professionalism to our crowd and to our fans and to our members and to the community.
That's awesome. I think we do. I think everything you just said is executed well, the professionalism and all that stuff. Like, and I've said it, you know, many times that it's just an honor and a privilege to be on the network, to have this platform, is a privilege for me. So on behalf of me and my listeners, I just want to say thank you to you for legitimately just allowing me to be a part of this, because it's cool, man.
It's amazing, man, because this podcast network, this Buffalo Fanatics podcast network is only going to get better and bigger. I'm telling you now, we have a full roster, a strong full roster, and I can tell you right now, we are going to grow it, and it's going to get bigger, and there's going to be other podcasts that may want to jump in and be part of this movement. So who knows where and what this can happen, where this can take us, but I see very big things, and we have a strong starting lineup that I will push my starting lineup against anybody. We got
anybody's nice. Well, you said a second ago that there's papers on the table, and now you're talking about podcasters jumping to the network. So like there's some stuff, it sounds like there's some stuff out there. Like there's some things out there working in the works.
We're always trying to get bigger and better. I mean, that's awesome. The point, right? We always gotta take your reps. You gotta take your losses as well, because Lord knows we've taken our losses. But it's all about how you can learn. Because we don't look at it as a loss per se. I mean, right. A lot of people say you took an L, but you know what? That L is a lesson, and Lord knows we've taken our lessons, and now we've got to learn from our lessons and grow and get this thing better.
That's awesome. Do me a favor, real quick. Tell me about your show on YouTube. Tell my listeners about your show.
Tell me about your show. Okay, here's the deal. The Rico Report. I'm gonna call it right now. It's called the Rico Report, and I gotta give a shout out.
Wait. A couple minutes ago, you said you didn't have a name for the show. Now you got a name? What's the name?
I know, and I'm about to drop that. It's called the Rico Report, right?
I love it.
And David Jones is one. I believe his name is David Jones. One of our members that watches our show. He's been pushing that name for the last month. He says you should call it the Rico Report, and you know what? It rings, and I think that it works. So it's the Rico Report, man. So the Rico Report is on Fridays and Sundays. So Fridays, normally during the season, I will do a pregame, kind of get people hyped up and ready to go. And on Sundays, it's raw reactions after the game, right? You can do something on Monday, but Monday, you've had time to sleep on it. Yep, you've had time to really think things through, which is completely fine. But people want raw reaction, whether it's happy times or angry times. And what I bring in my show is a lot of energy. I bring a lot of fan engagement, member engagement. I think that's completely, that's something that I really take very seriously. Because they are what drive the show. If I have no one, and that's why I give a lot of credit to people that podcast, because you don't have an audience. It's just you, your thoughts, your opinions, your statistics, and you put it out there and you've got time to edit and go on and so on and so forth. With a live show, there is no editing. It's just you and your audience, right? So if whatever they're not happens. Liking a take, if they don't like what you're saying, you will see it and you can actually go and debate. So what I have done, which makes it even closer, which brings the fan closer to being part of something, to being part of a community, is on my show, The Rico Report. I'm going to try to get used to that now, is I do a call-in. So a lot of times, how often do you listen to your WGRs? And I don't listen to WGR because I'm just not in that area. I'm in Canada, so I kind of do my own thing and see things, but I don't listen to that radio station. But we'll say WGR because that's the main station that people listen to. There are times where there might be something said, and you want to be able to say something and I wish I could call in and say this, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're watching ESPN and they're talking about Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold this and Sam Darnold that, or Lombardi coming in and saying, this is the thing about, you know what I mean? So when you give the opportunity to a member, a fan, to call in and voice their opinion or you know what, go against what I may be saying, that is the power you give to the community to come back and chime in and feel they're part of something. And I think that is why my show and Buffalo Fanatics is around, to give the voice to the people, and the people can have something to relate to about the team that they love most, and that's the Buffalo Bills.
No, that's super good. I've actually tried to consider certain ways without having my face on a video, doing the Overreaction Sports podcast with some sort of a live call-in feature, like podcast, so radio-esque, but via podcast. Mm-hmm. The problem is I don't want to give everybody my phone number.
I hear you. Trust me. I hear you. I know. I'm all about it. I get it.
So it puts me in kind of a weird situation. Hey, real quick. So what is the scoop with Pierre getting some FaceTime with QB1 at the airport? I want the deets. I want the deets, man.
Pierre meeting his childhood hero. I tease him a lot about that, the childhood hero, the hero thing. But here's a story, all right? And I can give it to you because they gave it to me in great detail. And I don't think I'll miss a beat in this. So
hot take,
Pierre
hot
is on
take.
His way. hot take. Pierre is, I believe he's in D.C. I think it was in Washington. Okay, I think he's in D.C. He's on his way to Buffalo. And he's sitting down getting ready to board his flight. And he notices a tall frame walk by with a mask on. Mm. So he's like, huh, that person looks familiar, but that can't be. Right. And this person keeps walking. He's like, no, that has to be the person. But trailing behind Josh Allen was a woman. Mm-hmm. And the woman and Pierre locked eyes. And he says, wait a minute, I know that person. So Pierre removed his face mask. And she did the same. And she's like, I knew that was you. And come she's on. Like, oh my God, Britt. Yes, yes. So the reason that she says, I knew that was you, is because we've been in conversation with Britt before, right?
Really?
Where we've sent the Buffalo verse everybody. Oh, yeah. I mean, we have relationships with a lot of the players on the team. And with having relationships with the players, you tend to have relationships with their spouses as well. And Britt is a really cool individual. And Pierre has struck a friendship, I would say, with Britt.
And that's awesome.
They've had conversation before, prior. So they were able to see and recognize each other. So once the recognition took place, there was a small conversation. Hey, how are you? All that good stuff. And they boarded their flight. So at this point, Pierre is like, guys, you guys won't believe who's on this flight.
That's amazing.
Josh Allen. We're like, boy, you better stop. Stop playing. He's like, no, he's on this flight right now.
On the same plane.
Okay, well, listen. You don't have this opportunity often, first and foremost. Nobody just runs into the starting quarterback of your favorite football team. So you better march over there and say, hey, sir, can I get a picture with you?
Right.
But nobody wants to do that because you don't want to invade on someone's privacy, number one. And because of this COVID situation, there's things are different now. So he's sitting on the plane texting with us saying, what do I do? What do I do? So because of the relationship he had prior with Britt, he DMs her on Instagram and says, hey, this is Pierre. We just met. I don't want to, you know what I mean, look like a groupie. He even said it. I don't want to look like a groupie, but I would love for myself to get a picture with Josh if that's okay, if he's okay with it. And she was a sweet person. She's a sweet lady. She's like, you know what? We could definitely make it happen as soon as the flight. Once we land, let's do it. So flight, they land, they meet up, they chop it up a little bit, and Pierre standing next to his favorite franchise quarterback.
That's
taking
amazing.
A picture. And if you look at that picture, Pierre's a big boy.
Pierre's I was just going to say that. He's a big old boy.
he's a big fella. So him standing next to Josh Allen, you would even say Pierre could suit up and join the Bills if you needed to. But the former receiver doesn't have the knees he used to have. So he's content with just watching. So that's the story, man. So he was able to kind of have small chat with Josh and Britt as well. They took a great picture together and circulating all over the internet right now. It's on Twitter, and Pierre is extremely satisfied with that. And furthermore, to push it, we've been on this train of this could be the year that the Bills really make noise. Josh going into his third year and how a lot of people, you know what I mean, been talking about Josh, and here comes the Bills fans, Pierre included, talking up a big game for his quarterback, and he runs into him. So
that's crazy.
Destiny? Can we call it destiny? Could it be that he rubs shoulders with the quarterback and the quarterback's going to take us to the promised land, the Super Bowl? Hey, we don't know, but stranger things have happened. And I'm pleased that he was able to meet him and he gave us conversation. And we're going to the Super Bowl. And that's that.
No, I'm in. I'm in. Totally in. You know who's not in, though?
I'm in.
I'm in. But you know who's not? Michael Lombardi. And we've had a lot of conversation. I put that video out, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was floored at the end of the cycle, if you will, of that little quick take that I did, because I was annoyed and I was probably overreacting a little bit, and I get emotional. That's what my show is about, and you get it.
I love
it. But that thing got like 6,500 views, which
did it get that much?
6,500 views. I couldn't believe it. But you talked about it. Obviously, Steve and the Bills guys talked about it. So we've kind of talked about it, but there's just something, I don't know what it's going to take. And I think for me, the question that I would ask is, what's it going to take for these guys, these NFL knuckleheads that are like the media dudes that get to talk about and bring their opinion because they're quote unquote the guys that know this stuff. What is it going to take to get these guys to actually watch film on Josh Allen like Brian Baldinger has? Like, what's it going to take? What do you think?
It's tough because watching film is time consuming. It's time consuming. And I'll do this. So I work the overnights, and you'll have upper management that will walk in near the end of shift. So 7 o'clock, 7:30, and we'll take a look and may see one or two employees standing around, and they'll assume that they've been doing something. They've been doing nothing all night, but they don't realize that they've been working all day and they may have taken a small little break. So with guys like Lombardi, they watch one game or they'll watch a play or two, or they'll focus on two or three games of the worst games and paint a picture and say, well, you know what? That's not the guy I want. And then what they'll do is they'll cross-reference that by going back to college and say, see, well, he did that in college and look what he's doing in the league. So you know what? He's written off for me. Furthermore, when you have somebody already on a pedestal and you've been beating the drum for that individual,
right?
You can't go against that. You gotta keep with it. So when they keep trashing on guys like Allen because they never believed him in the first place, it's gonna happen. So Lombardi probably feels that way. He does not like Josh Allen. So how could he eat his, he's not gonna take his words back. So what we have to do is force him to eat his words. He's gonna have to eat his words this year.
Right. I think for me, I understand everything that you just said, and I totally get it. I understand the narratives. I understand they watch the highlight plays, and a lot of times the highlights, let's just call it what it is, are lowlights. The Bills, towards the end of last season, started getting some decent run on some of the highlight show, but for the last 20 years, by and large, we've gotten the 15-second spot, the 20-second spot, and there really hasn't been much there, and there's something to how much even the highlight shows are showing the bad throws that, you know, they've got a toss and a bad throw that Josh would make. But I think it would serve them better if they did it. Not, they wouldn't even have to go back to college if they just looked at certain things. So like one of the things that PFF, and PFF is huge on dogging Josh Allen and talking about just where he's at and who he's going to be, and trash this and trash this, regardless of the fact that Josh Allen was over 60% completion percentage through about three quarters of last year. It fell off towards the end of the season. You know, if they did something simple, which was just, and PFF actually reported this, that the Bills were number one in drop percentages in the NFL last year, 7%. So the Bills led the league at 7%. So if Josh Allen's at 58 point whatever percent completion percentage, and if you put him middle of the pack, which is about 4.5, right? So if we give him an extra 4 points, where does that put him?
Right.
62?
That puts him as one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
One of the better quarterbacks. And funny, if you look at the stats, and I'm looking at profootballreference.com, if you look at the stats, the guys that are at the top of the list seem to somehow magically have the lowest drop percentages. And I'm sure that there's some way that they can blame that on Josh Allen as well. And don't get me wrong, sometimes he throws the ball a little too hard. But when you look at a guy like Dawson Knox, and I love Dawson Knox, Dawson actually came to our church last year, like during right before training camp started, he rolled through our church. Nice. And like, yeah, he's a big old boy too. He's enormous. And my daughter was standing next to me. She's 13 and fell in love with him instantly. Which is really, really funny. But I'm a big Dawson Knox fan. But when you look at the amount of drops that he had, I think it was up there. I looked it up a little bit ago. But if Dawson becomes more sure-handed, a guy like Diggs is going to help this situation. Like if Josh Allen, if that drop percentage improves, like we're talking about a different scenario just in that for Josh Allen. And I think that's what's annoying to me. Like, and then I think PFF also posted something, and I was going to go on about this a couple weeks ago, about how like there was the top five most turnover worthy plays by a quarterback or the top five quarterbacks. And guess who wasn't on the list? Josh Allen. And it's like,
there you have it.
I'm confused. Like, what is the narrative? If right. I mean, help me out.
What? Well, here's the deal. We all know that we were at the top of the league in balls dropped.
Yep.
And it's clear. We had issues with Dawson Knox. We had
7%
issues sometimes with Cole Beasley.
That number is 7%. 7% drop percentage
there? What was the percentage?
7%.
7%.
Yep.
Okay. We have John Brown had some costly drops. I mean, I could go on, right? I mean, the evidence is there in the statistics. Now, management, don't think that management was sleeping on this, because we had that very issue Josh's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Holmes, Zay Jones,
And Kelvin Benjamin.
You had
right?
Kelvin Biscuit Benjamin. I mean, the list can go on with the amount of people that we had on the team that weren't sure-handed, and right. It was very clear. So they knew they needed to improve that department. So they brought in John Brown and Cole Beasley, yep. an upgrade to Josh's rookie year, but still not elite enough. So they bring in Stephon Diggs, which has a very low percentage drop, number one, and he's great separation. Let's go to the playoff game. John Brown was not our leading receiver, nor was he targeted the most. He wasn't even looked at as often. Right. I think he had, what, 3 or 4 receptions. Duke Williams was the guy that he was going after.
He was the game
dog. Plan. Someone that was hungry, that wanted more. What do you think Stephon Diggs is going to bring to this team? So with a guy that has great separation, doesn't drop the ball, and can get open, Josh Allen is going to be looking at him often. And you don't think those 3 points, maybe those 2 points, are going to increase with that receiver alone? I'll tell you that right now, it's going to. His percentage is going to go up with Stephon Diggs alone. And the rest of the crew is going to have to step their game up. So I can see a big improvement happening. So don't fret. He's going to be better because we've got him a weapon in Stephon Diggs.
So Josh Allen had 461 attempts last year. I think he has more attempts this year. So I think he's definitely going to throw the ball more times. And I bet you that drop percentage number, it's going to go less than half. I bet you he's in that low threes. The lowest drop percentage in the league was Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons at 2.5. Then Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson has been a hot topic for you in the last couple days. He's at 3.2%. Right. And you can't tell me that that drop percentage isn't connected to QBR and isn't connected to passer rating and isn't connected to like where your quarterback is in standings as far as obviously it's directly connected to completion percentage, but that drop percentage matters. And these aren't, just so everybody knows, I probably should say this, drop percentage isn't every time Josh Allen misses a pass. It's when the ball is catchable or deemed catchable, hits him in the hands, absolutely. Is in the body radius,
absolutely,
something like that. So for me, this number is absolutely going to drop, whether it's to 3.5. It's just how far it's going to drop. And I agree. Stephon Diggs is going to make a huge difference.
And he will. And I will say this, though, because I did touch on Lamar Jackson. We touched on Lamar Jackson. If you go to Lamar's playoff game, his last playoff game, and the amount of drops, I mean, you said it, lowest percentage of drops during the regular season. In that playoff game alone, he had his receivers drop 4 to 5 passes.
Right.
Key passes dropped. So these things happen. These things will happen. Now, when you have sure-handed receivers like Stephon Diggs coming on and infecting the rest of the receiving crew, and you bring in a guy like Hodgins that is known to not drop any balls, and you have Gabe Davis that's coming onto there, listen, we've improved this team so we can give Josh Allen all the ammo possible for him to succeed. Now it's a matter of execution. Execute, execute, execute. And if you don't execute, we then have an issue.
Yep.
But Dable, and I hate to bring it up, but Dable has to put him in position to do so. And both of them are you know what I mean? You have Dable and you have Josh. The pressure is on both of them. But execution is going to be the key word this year. You've got to execute, Josh. There are no more excuses. You have the weapons you need to succeed. Let's go.
I'm smiling because I agree with you. And Brian Dable, to me, is a brilliant offensive coordinator. He's just a horrible in-game manager. Like, he just has a tendency to get away from... There was a time, and I don't know how, I'm not going to ask. There was a time in how old you are. There was a time that I remember, and I don't remember exactly what the coaching staff was, but there was a time when it seemed like the Bills offense would find a play that worked and then wouldn't run it again. It's like, oh, that play worked twice really well. We're never going to run it again. And Dable does similar things. It's like, well, we're totally destroying the team over here, so we're going to not do that anymore. We're just going to stop, and we're going to try this now. Or he game plans, and we're obviously not looking to talk about Brian Dable, but I think, I don't want to say that's a big ask, but it might be a big ask.
Listen, I'm listening to you, and I'm like, the one play that sticks in my mind is the screenplay. I feel like we don't run the screenplay as often.
Agreed.
And if we do, we rerun it maybe once a game, and then we shy away from it. We never go back to it again. And in the playoff game against the Houston Texans, we ran late in the game a beautiful screenplay for Devin Singletary.
Yep.
And Devin Singletary took it nearly to the end zone. Nearly to the end zone. I'm like, you have such an explosive running back, but yet you don't run these simple plays that helps A, your quarterback, helps B, your lineman, and helps C, your defense to give them a breather. Like, let's go here. Brian Daboll, execute your play, your playbook, and use these things that put these players like Devin Singletary in space where he does, that's where he does most of his work. You can give him a little a phone booth. He will make his way out. You give him an open field? Come on now. That's what you've got to do. So now we have playmakers like Singletary. We have playmakers like Stephon Diggs. Listen, like I said, man, no excuses. I don't want to hear anything. We've got to get down and dirty and put points on the board because 16 to 17, 18 points a game is not going to cut it this year. If we want offensive production, we've got to get into the 23 to 27 points a game.
Agreed.
Because the defense is going to do their job.
Yep.
Offense is what has been keeping us behind.
Yep.
Yes, we put some points up and we kind of keep things close, but we can't keep winning these games 17 to 14. You know what I mean? 16 to 10. No, you can't. Defense, that's a lot of pressure on the defense. We now have to start putting up points on these. Remember when Barkley came in and lit up the Jets? How nice it was for the defense? Now we can pin our ears back and get after the quarterback. But we can't just keep putting 16, 17, 18 points up again. It's just not going to cut it this year. This year is the year of execution. Stop playing games. Let's go.
Let's go. I love it. No, and it's the best example of Daboll coming back to something that I can remember from last year is still the Texans game. He ran that quarterback sweep, and it was successful. And he came back to it late in the game. And, bro, if Dawson Knox makes that block, Josh Allen's still running. He still hasn't been caught.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yes,
we had so many opportunities, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that was one of those moments where like he caught him, and I remember when they ran it the first time, and I remember looking at my dad and saying they need to run that again, like because Houston doesn't have an answer for that, if Dawson just makes that block, he's a rookie, we got to give him some
Dawson Knox and Cody Ford pulling out. You've got two blockers. And you miss him. Oh, man. You know what? You're making me upset right now just thinking about it.
Well, the worst part is, like, I mean, they almost killed Josh Allen. The dude that hit him almost killed him. Like, he planted him in the earth. Like, but
oh, he felt that. Josh is a big boy. 6'4", 230, 220, 230. He felt that. He felt all of that. Linebacker having free range. No, not even a chip, not even anything. And just full man-to-man contact. Oh, no. He felt that one.
Oh yeah, he felt it for sure. And I don't want to say that he wasn't the same, but he was a little bit rattled, I think, after that hit. Here's the next thing as it pertains to Michael Lombardi. And I know that you wanted to not banter, but you wanted to talk a little bit, and we've kind of gone back and forth on Twitter, which is great. In regards to this whole comment that, you know, Josh, the hole that the Bills have per Lombardi, and that's a quote, the hole that the Bills have is Josh Allen. And had they drafted Lamar Jackson, the Bills would be Super Bowl contenders. And I like Lamar, so don't get the wrong idea. So, and my comment on Twitter wasn't about Lamar being a bad quarterback. It was more about, well, Lamar hasn't had any success in the playoffs either. For me, Lamar right now, when John Harbaugh's a genius, first of all, John Harbaugh does not get the credit that John Harbaugh probably deserves as a head coach in the NFL. He is and you might disagree, he is a system quarterback to me. They're running three tight end sets. And they're doing kind of some magical stuff out of a heavy run set where he's kind of tricking people into throwing. I'm not sure that Lamar is executing Brian Daboll's offense. How do you see Lamar? Do you see this team the same if Lamar is our quarterback versus Josh?
First of all, I agree. Here's the deal. If Lamar, I was campaigning for the Bills to draft Lamar. I believe in Lamar, and I believe that Lamar, if came to the Bills, he would have success with the Bills. I don't think he's just a system quarterback. I mean, when you have a head coach in Petrino, is it Petrino? Bobby Petrino, I believe, was the coach for him at Louisville.
Yes.
And Bobby Petrino is not known to be a slouch of a head coach, an offensive coordinator. He runs a can be a complicated offense.
Right.
So if Lamar was able to do that, there's no way that you can make him a system quarterback. Now, would he gel with the likes of Brian Daboll? Who knows? Would Josh Allen gel with the likes of Greg Roman? who knows? Because that's who the coordinator is for the Baltimore Ravens.
I think so, yes. I think the skill set Josh Allen has does blend well with Greg Roman's offense.
Sorry. And it may. We will never know because it's not happening right now.
Right, right.
But
for
one
sure.
thing I would say is I don't necessarily disagree with what Lombardi mentioned when he says that the success of the Bills falls on Josh Allen.
Oh, totally.
Because that's the thing. And I think people are up in arms, not what you were saying, but people are up in arms with that comment. But let's be honest. The success of the Saints falls on Drew Brees.
Oh, for sure.
The success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers falls on Tom Brady.
Statue.
Yes, the success of the Bills falls on Josh Allen, of course. But people look, because we've been spoken about in such a negative light for so long, we get on the defense right away. And it's normal. But take a step back and say, well, he's right. Because we ourselves as Bills fans are feeling that way right now. Man, Josh needs to take, what have we been saying? Josh needs to take the next step. Josh, yep, this is yep. year three now. This is where they take the, you know what I mean? So
yep.
Lombardi is just pissing people off, pardon my language, pissing people off with the fact that he said that Josh's inaccuracies will not be fixed. So then once we heard that, we were on the defense. We didn't want to hear anything else. Nothing else. But nonetheless, I hope Lamar has a great season, and I know Josh is gonna have a good season, and it should be a fun season to watch this year.
Yeah, there's no more easily triggered fan base as it pertains to instantly becoming family defensive than the Bills Mafia and their quarterback right now.
Oh my gosh, Bills Mafia we are the most sensitive fan base around. If it's not the Patriots, because the Patriots, I mean, have been winning, so you can't really say much about them, but whenever their team loses, boy, oh boy, do they get salty. But the Bills fans, we get on the defense and we don't let go. And we just get borderline ridiculous.
Yeah,
and, we do. And you know what? We are part of it, because when we lose, we overreact. And I love the name of your podcast, because we fans overreact on a lot of things. And it takes us a day or two to kind of calm down and come back to reality and go from there.
Yeah, it was definitely intentional. When I was putting the concept together, it was like, this is kind of too good. Like, this is what we do. And I'm an emotion-based podcast. I understand football, but not like the Cover One guys do. And I don't claim to. That's not what I do. And I don't know it as well as Bruce Exclusive does, Bruce Nolan does. Like, for me, it's about emotion. I want to be the every fan. And I just want to talk to and the every fan. And I want to talk with the every fan as far as our Buffalo Bills go. So that overreaction piece, it just kind of fit perfectly.
I love it. I love it. And I love the emotion, because it is me. It's like you're speaking to me when I hear someone just speak passionately about something.
Yeah, for sure.
And you and I are like many others, thousands of others. And that's why we are where we are right now. And it's perfect for the fan of the Buffalo Bills.
I agree. And I agree. I think Lamar's going to have a good season next year. I do feel that he can't throw outside the numbers. I think that's something about him. We can disagree on the. I think that right now he's a little bit of a system quarterback.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how this next year plays out for him, and even the year after. Lombardi is just, I'm not saying that he's fishing. He could have just gone about that interview totally different. And then if you didn't, then I know Steve did. One of you said it, that I think the most reprehensible part about the whole interview was the fact that, like, Chris Brown and Steve Tasker didn't even push back. Like, they didn't even, like, yeah, but him. Like, they just let him talk and let him drive over our quarterback, and then was like, thanks for showing up, Mike. Like, it was just trash. But it was just a trash interview.
Here's the thing, though. What do you want Chris Brown to do? Do you want Chris Brown? Because Chris Brown and a lot of the Buffalo media can't show their feelings, right? You can't sit there and defend the team that you cover personally. You have to be objective. So you have to let the interviewer say what he needs to say. You can't just say, well, I disagree with that, because now it becomes my opinion versus your opinion. And then where does it go? So you got to let him say his piece. Chris Brown did a fantastic job by letting him say his piece and then putting it out there and letting the Bills Mafia rip him to pieces. Although Chris Brown wanted to, I'm sure he did, and disagreed with a lot of what Lombardi was saying. He's like, you know what? I'm going to post this.
Right.
And the Bills Mafia will get after him. So I'll let them do my dirty work. And guess what? We did.
We did. So, Chris, if that's the case, I apologize. Steve, I love you. You should be in the Hall of Fame. I apologize. So Last thing I want to talk about. My guy, Jay Spence, the king, brought up, and I was talking to Spence today, because I was like, bro, where do you get your content ideas from? Because, like, one of the things that I struggle with the most, and I think you probably are there with me because you and I both have kind of an emotional-based show. I'm like, where do you get content ideas? Because, like, he just throws out there all of a sudden, and, like, the responses and the reactions and the interactions that he gets, like, are just over the top. And what he talked about was based off of just another conversation that he was in. And he was talking about Super Bowls. And the question, and I believe he did a poll. I don't have the poll in front of me. I could probably look it up. Was, if you had a choice as a Bills fan, Bills Mafia, what would you prefer? 4 more trips to the Super Bowl with 4 straight losses or no Super Bowls at all? And I know that stung me. How did that make you feel when you read that? Like, first, do you remember your first reaction when you read that? Were you, like, paused, thumb kind of, like, up and down over the button? Like, I'm not sure which one of these I want to press, or did you know immediately?
Here's the deal. With that question, with winning the Super Bowl and winning nothing at all, the best way I can, everyone likes an experience, and that's the best way I can put it. Everyone loves an experience, and a good experience is something that you carry and you cherish.
Yep.
So for those that can say, no, I'd rather not lose because it's embarrassing and I don't want to have to say I lost 4 straight. Whoa. Let's back it up. What about the experience? Because you would have been able to say, my team's going to the Super Bowl. You would have been able to prepare for Super Bowl and parties and so on and so forth. There's so many things that you could have done in those experiences, and the feeling you get. How good does it feel when your team goes, the day that we went to the playoffs and we beat the Bengals? How good was that? That felt so good. So
I was screaming. When Tyler Boyd caught
when he caught that ball,
I was my wife like ran not into the room, ran out of the room because she was afraid that I was gonna like not hit her, but she was like, I was losing my mind when Tyler Boyd caught that football.
Yes. So how could you not want to have that feeling? If you want to give me that feeling 4 straight years straight, give me that feeling. Wow. I will take it. Forget about the not lose. No. Give me that feeling. Case closed. Don't even talk about anything else. 4 straight Super Bowls and I lose it? No, I'm taking that. And furthermore, and I hate to say it, but will there ever be another team that goes to the championship game, 4 straight times?
No.
Lose or not, just 4 straight times is a feat in itself. So you got to give credit to that 90s team, although I don't like hearing too much about it because it's a sore spot. But if I were to, if I were to jump into it and have my team with Josh Allen go to the Super Bowl 4 straight times, yes, give me that.
Yeah, no, it's what's interesting about it. And just so everybody knows, Jay Spence the King is the host of the Code of Conduct podcast that airs on Wednesdays on the Buffalo Fanatic Sports Network. Just so you know, check his podcast out. But he tweeted that out, and he tweeted it out on June 26th. I think it was just a couple days ago. It got 1,700 right. votes. 1,700 votes.
Jeez.
Yeah. 52.
What was the result? Because I didn't know what the result was.
53% said what you said. Let's go to the Super Bowl 4 times and lose. 47%. So it was split down the middle. What's interesting about that is, so I was a budding teenager, and I graduated high school in 1991. So like that is just my wheelhouse. And it was amazing. I lived in Florida at the time. I went to high school in Florida. And it was amazing for me growing up as a kid and being like the kid who was the fan of the team, like, in the NFL. Like, the Bills beat everybody in the NFL. I remember being at my best friend's house in high school on a Saturday or Sunday morning one time, going through, and, like, back then in the paper, I don't know how many people even read the paper anymore, but back then in the paper, they would put, in the standings, it would say, along with your record, how many people in your division or your conference you've beaten, and how many people in the opposite conference you've beaten. And as everybody remembers, back then, like, the NFC owned the AFC in the Super Bowl. Like, the NFC, like, just owned it. It didn't matter who the NFC was playing. The NFC just won the Super Bowl. And what's wild is I remember reading those stats to my buddy Phil, and I said, the Bills are the only team in the NFL with a winning record against the NFC. And I think that was the first year that they went to the Super Bowl and lost. And my buddy Phil happened to be a Giants fan. For me, it was a cool feeling, that experience of Bills fans.
Absolutely.
Bills fans were made. Like, there were people that became Bills fans for life. My buddy Marty Pluth is a Bills fan for life because of that 90s team. He's from St. Louis. He's a Buffalo Bills fan, like, because of that team. Like, that team was magical. It was amazing. And, yes, I loved the feeling, but there was just something about, like, that first one was right there. The second one we got, I think, robbed. The third one we got destroyed. And then the fourth one.
Destroyed, yep.
The fourth one, Thurman doesn't fumble those two balls, and that game is ours. I just don't know where I land. And somebody said on Jay Spence's Twitter, on that thread, you know, when they talk about teams that have lost the Super Bowl, they always talk, it's the four in a row, right? Because, like, what we're strapped with is we went four times. And an interesting point to your point about it never happening again, very quietly, not many people know this, the Patriots, had they gone this year, would have been four in a row, but they didn't make it. That was what I was most excited about when the Patriots got beat in the playoffs, is the fact that their four-peat was over. They were not going to four in a row. So the Bills still own that, and I agree with you. That will never be eclipsed. However, I looked it up earlier today. The Patriots have five losses. Who else has five losses? Where is it at? I lost it. You got to be. Oh, Super Bowl standings.
What are the Steelers? The Steelers up there?
The Steelers have two losses. They've gone twice. Or they've gone eight times. The Patriots have five losses, and there's one of
Cowboys.
The teams. The Broncos have five losses. The Bills have four.
Okay.
Yep, the Bills have four. The Vikings have four. Nobody talks about the Patriots and five losses. Nobody talks about the Broncos and five losses. Nobody talks about the Vikings and five loss or four losses. The only team that's strapped with that is us. And for me, that's the hesitation. It's just like, man, I don't want to do that again. Like, it would be amazing. Go ahead.
And the thing is, I think the reason it hurts so much, and people stand and look at it, and it stands out the most, is because those years that we went to the Super Bowl, our offense was potent.
Oh, it was killer.
We had the K Gunn and we had the Thurmans, and we had the Jim Kellys and Cornelius Bennett. You understand? We feel like we had a team, so we were destined to win those games. The Redskins, Giants, we had to come on. Like those teams, we should have beat them.
Oh, but we should kill them.
Hey, we are where we are, and this is why I feel like right now, and in the era that we're in, Bills fans put so much pressure on this team because we want to so much go back to the days that we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because as young as I am, and as young as these other the kids coming up, that's all they've heard of.
Right.
Of the Bills going to the Super Bowl and losing. So all they've learned and known is a losing team, right? We've got guys like yourself that remember the winning days. So we want to get back to that so badly. So we will do and say anything and defend as hard as we have to just to get that little bit of happiness and success back to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And I think we are the closest that we've ever been since the 90s. So that's why we're grasping onto everything. And don't you dare talk about my team like that, because we're so close.
I agree.
We're close. But we'll
I agree.
See.
I totally agree. Like, this team it's hard to believe how far this team has come in such a short time. And all the credit is due to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Like, it's just hard to believe how good this defense is. It's hard to believe the talent that is now around Josh Allen. It's hard to believe the contract situations that we're in. Like, even the conversation, I'm sure you've heard it, about this conversation about, like, because of COVID, if there's no fans in the stands, that Schefter is reporting that, like, the salary cap is going to drop somewhere between $30 and $80 million. And for me, it's like, well, the Bills are $90 million under the cap next year. So what? Like, for me, like, I don't even care because the Bills are good to go. Now, obviously, it's going to be a problem when we come to try to sign Tre'Davious White, and we're going to have to do something about Josh Allen if he is who we think he is. But for all intents 100%. And purposes, the amount of play, if the cap gets cut by $50 million next year because of COVID, like, the amount of players that are getting cut from teams, it's going to be unbelievable. Like, there's going to be guys on the street, like, big-time players, big-time names that aren't just injury guys that are out on the street. But 100%. It's just hard to believe. I'm right there with you, dude. Like, the emotion that I have, the expectation that I have, the anticipation that I have for this season, and there's something to be said for, you know, sure, this is only happening to us. The stars are lining up, and it seems like we're going to have, you know, a guy that's in contention for the MVP of the league in Josh Allen. We've got we got wide receivers that can't be covered by any defensive, like, defense in the NFL. We have a top two defense. And, oh, by the way, the season's in jeopardy because of COVID, because of a world pandemic. It's like, you've got to be kidding me right now.
It's we are in muddy waters, my friend. We are in muddy waters. We're just looking for some kind of clarity in all of this. And right now, I think a lot of people are scrambling. Executives are scrambling. Administrators are scrambling to make sense of what is going on right now, to try to find solutions, or I guess band-aids, thick enough and strong enough band-aids to kind of band-aid these issues that are going on right now. So hopefully we, as a fan base, as fans of the NFL, will get to witness this season.
Yeah.
But it makes me worry. It makes me worry that this may not happen. But this is big business, and you know how this can work, man. Big business. You don't want to lose too much money, so they may find ways to make it happen. But not to jump into that, but you catch my drift.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens this year.
Oh yeah. And we're going to find out shortly. So they're already talking about canceling two preseason games, which we all want to have happen anyway. But not under these circumstances. And I was talking to somebody on Twitter. I think it was in the group chat. And the worst case scenario is they play or they go ahead, and then like some young guy gets it, and somebody like Pat Mahomes gets it, and then like has like career issues or dies from it. Like that's, I mean, then it's absolutely. Like, was it worth it? If one player dies, it's not worth it. It's just so hard because, oh man, we're such selfish people. And don't get me, like, I'm at the front of the line, dude. I want the Bills to play football, and I want them to go to the Super Bowl.
You and I both. You and I both, man. I think we want it so damn bad that that's the worst part. We want it so bad that we're willing to risk it. Risk it all.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it. So, I mean, we'll soon find out. Hopefully, I mean, crossing the old fingers that everything works out, and we have a fantastic season, and we're hosting that Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year.
Oh man, all the feels. You've given me all the feels, Rico. I just want to thank you.
Man, I'm feeling the same way, man. We're dying for success. We're hungry for success, for crying out loud. We've been part of losing seasons for too long.
Yep,
it's about time that we have some fortune in our way, on our side. I think that we have the men in place to lead us there in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. And as long as Pegula stays out of the way and let these men do football things, I think we'll have success for some time.
That's awesome. Everybody, this is RealRico_BF. You can find him on Twitter. He is the host of the Rico Report on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel.
That sounds good, man.
It sounds good with my voice, right? That's me. Like, dude, I'm thinking about doing voiceovers. Like, so you can, you know, hit me up.
You should.
Hit me up.
I'll tell you this, man. I told you earlier that my wife, she's one of my biggest fans, and she says, she's like, Rico, I love your voice. Your voice is the one I like to hear anytime that these things are on. And I was listening to your podcast, and she's like, wait a minute. Now, who is that? I was like, oh, that's my man, Joe. And she's like, okay, don't take this any way, babe, but he has a nice voice, and his voice I could listen to. So you've got a fan in the wife, so the wife is on board.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to keep that fan. You make me blush every time you talk about it. So I appreciate you being on the show, man. This was a ton of fun, and I'm going to have you on again. So regardless of you having me on your show or not, go ahead.
Yes, listen, get your wifey to put some makeup on you. The lights and the camera are going to be on, and sometimes the bright lights are on. Some people kind of buckle. I hope you don't buckle under the pressure from the Rico Report.
There's no buckling, my friend. There's no buckling. I've been doing that stage stuff for a very, very, very long time.
You're good. You're good.
So appreciate it, man. It was great talking to you. Thank you for being on the show today.
I appreciate it, Joe. You're the man, man. The voice Overreaction Podcast. I appreciate it.
Well, he is Rico. He is the man. He is one of the founders of Buffalo Fanatics. You can find him at RealRico_BF, and you can find him on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel with the Rico Report. And I just want to say thank you, sir, for joining me today. It was a blast, and we're going to have to do it again. Everybody, I want to thank you so much for tuning in, for being a part of the show today. As always, I appreciate it more than you will ever know. This has been the Overreaction Sports Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator, one Jonathan Spazcheck. If you are in the market to buy or sell a home, go to the man that I trust more than anybody else when it comes to real estate adventures. Go to the Market Dominator. You will not be dissatisfied. He is the best in the business. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon. Go Bills.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out thebuffalofanatics.com, where you'll find unique digital content about the Buffalo Bills and articles about anything from schemes, game planning, personnel moves, all the way to comedy and even fan fiction. You can find Buffalo Fanatics content on all major social media platforms. Where else would you rather be? Let's go, Bills.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration products and SuperDeck stains from August 23rd through the 26th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When the crave calls, the only thing better than one White Castle cheese slider is 10 of them packed with 10 times the melty cheese and 100% savory beef. So get your hands on 10 cheese sliders for only $7.99 for a limited time. Because whether you've got a big group or a big appetite, the only way to follow your crave is with 10 delicious cheese sliders. Now just $7.99 for a limited time, only at White Castle. Follow your crave. Tax not included.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.